It's 4BC Breakfast and Greg Carey sitting in this week for Laurel, Gary and Mark, 16 past 8 our time. Fascinating times, as I mentioned, in the United States as they prepare for one of the most consequential presidential elections in recent decades. Donald Trump, in spite of and perhaps in part because of 4 indictments, is miles ahead of the Republican candidates. And Joe Biden, despite his failing physical and mental condition, continues to say he'll run again. Interestingly, several key Democrat writers and senior figures are starting to publicly raise doubts about all of that. TJ O'Hara will join me a few times this week at different times to give us a better sense of what's going on there. TJ was an independent candidate for the presidency back in 2012 and has written several outstanding books I can thoroughly recommend on the US, its history and its politics, all of which has led to this unique moment where a big majority of both parties want neither of the current candidates for the nomination. It's a really bizarre situation. From San Diego, morning, TJ.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
It's lovely to talk to you, mate. It really is a bizarre situation. 330 million people, talented alternative candidates on both sides, and yet at the moment, I know there's a long way to go, it's looking like Trump-Biden again. How did it come to this?
Well, you know, we live in a complex world, and American voters don't have or won't make the time to become politically informed. So they take shortcuts. They pick a party and they do whatever the party tells them to do. And correspondingly, the parties are all about power. They like the bird in the hand that they know rather than the birds in the bush that they don't. Trump and Biden have both won the presidency. It doesn't matter to the parties that one candidate has obvious character flaws and the other has obvious cognitive ones. They're proven commodities. And the parties fear making a change.
I can understand that. We'll flesh it out a bit during the week as well. But there was a significant column in the Washington Post the other day. I read it by a man called David Ignatius. He's a respected center-left commentator who said President Biden should withdraw. Now, he was voicing in public, probably for the first time, what many are saying behind closed doors. But will the president listen?
I doubt it. I do think there might be an out, but, you know, his poll numbers are so far below sea level, you might think that Jacques Cousteau was his campaign manager. The Democratic Party is somewhat a victim of its own identity politics as well, because Kamala Harris ran such a pathetic presidential primary campaign in 2020, she didn't even make it to the first party caucus. But she was selected as Biden's running mate because he promised to name a black woman as his vice president. Unfortunately, she's proven to be as bad at that position as she was as a presidential candidate. So there's a general fear that if Biden wins re-election, he won't be able to complete his term and we'll be left with a President Harris. I do think the Democrats actually have a way out, and interestingly, it balances on Hunter Biden. If he's convicted of the felony charges he's currently facing and is sentenced to prison, picture a touching national press conference where President Biden, tears in his eyes, says that while he's previously said he would not pardon his son Hunter, he simply can't stand the thought of losing another son, at which point he'll reference his son Beau's death, as he so often does when it provides a political benefit. He'll then say that he's going to grant his son Hunter a full pardon, and as such, he's withdrawing his candidacy for the presidency of the United States in 2024. That could be orchestrated so emotionally that the press would eat it up. And the president will be hailed as a heroic and caring father, and the Democratic Party would breathe that collective sigh of relief that the article suggested.
That's fantastic.
You know, at that point in time, they'll try and usher somebody else in.
Okay, well, that's one scenario. Is there a scenario on the other side where Donald Trump, for whatever reason, won't run? Because he's so far in front of the at the moment, the nomination is virtually his, isn't it?
Well, he's a clinical narcissist. He's so far to the right end of that spectrum. Pragmatically, I don't think there's a chance that he won't run. But he has a vehemently loyal base, and it's not as large as some might think, but it's large enough to sink the Republican Party's chances if the party tries to push him off the ticket prematurely. But by prematurely, I mean prior to the primaries. So here's the strategic leverage. Once Trump has run in a Republican primary, he can't really drop out and run as an independent because there's sore loser laws that some of the states have, and that would deny him of any chance of getting enough electors to actually win the vote, win the election. So the party has to tolerate him until after the primaries start. By that time, some of his criminal trials will have begun. The party may begin to use them as leverage to begin to push some of the other qualified candidates. And so you think that once the primaries and prosecutions have begun, public and party sentiment might shift.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of scenarios, and TJ will come back with us tomorrow morning at about 20 past six, and we'll flesh that out just a little bit. Good to talk to you, TJ.
Good talking to you, Greg.
This is Greg Gary at 4BC.